Okay, let's discuss a matter, an inyan from this week's parsha. You have many mitzvahs in this week's parsha, and one of the mitzvahs is the mitzvah of hafroshas challah. Okay, so we learned this not so long ago in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I want to review some inyani halacha and inyani agada relating to the mitzvah of hafroshas challah. I'm curious, is there anyone here whose wife bakes challah every week? Who is mafresh challah? Okay, so it seems like it's a...
Well, you need 3 to 5 pounds.
No.
You need a significant amount. You need 3 to 5 pounds. Two, we'll discuss the exact measurements. To make a bracha, not make a bracha. Okay, nechanami. But it's a very important mitzvah, the mitzvah of hafroshas challah. It's quoted in the Ramah. The Ramah says it's a minhag. There's something very interesting that unique expression the Ramah uses to describe the mitzvah of hafroshas challah. The Ramah writes, on Erev Shabbos, a person should be mafresh challah, and he used the word nohagu, the loy lishanois. There are many different ways the Ramah refers to minhagim. Sometimes he says, the nohagu ha'om. That's like one of the weakest expressions. That expression is used in reference to making a bracha, not to make a bracha on the Chomesh Megillos, or not that, it's on the Chomesh, on Rus, Koheles, and Shir HaShirim. He writes, V'noagu ha'om. The minhag is not to make a bracha. So when he writes something like that, V'noagu ha'om, that's an indication that really it should not be like that. Really it should be that you should make a bracha. It's just that this is what the accepted custom is. Sometimes he says, V'yesh nehagim, or nohagu. There are many different expressions he used, and a lot of the later commentators take note that the Ramah was very precise in his words, and if you read into his words very carefully, you will discover hidden messages in how strong a minhag is or is not. The strongest expression that the Ramah uses in reference to a minhag is the words that he used in reference to the minhag of baking, preparing chalois, and the mitzvah of hafroshas challah by noshim every Erev Shabbos. His words are nohagu v'lo lishanos, you should not deviate. The Toldos Aron says that his tradition is, when the Ramah uses such a word, it means not only should you do this, you should be moiser nefesh. You should be moiser nefesh never to miss a week where you forget or... His wife. It's a mitzvah that's miyuchid for the women. It's not a mitzvah that's miyuchid for the man. That takes to the next interesting topic. Paiskim said that there is such... if a man wants to be mafresh challah, he has to ask his wife for shus. It's a mitzvah... a less professional baker. Right. A professional baker, there's no inyan whatsoever to bring in a woman to the bakery. People make that mistake. Think of it, you have a bakery shop and you have mafresh challah every day, so bedafka, a woman in the store should be mafresh challah, and if there are no women, then you should bring in a woman from the street to do mafresh challah. That is ridiculous. In a professional baker store, anyone can do the mitzvah mafresh challah. However, in the home, in one's bias, there's a hakpada that bedafka, the wife, the ikeres habayis, is the one that should do the mitzvah of hafroshas challah. If a husband, for whatever reason, has a fantasy, has a desire to be mafresh challah, he has to ask his wife for shus. Some go so far to say that if he does it without his wife's permission, he owes his wife 10 zehuvim, 10 gold coins. So it's a knas. A man has to buy his wife a new diamond ring if he takes away his wife's mitzvah. Now, Masechta Challah, it's not a small matter. Even though it's only a few psukim in the Torah, it's an entire Masechta. It's one of the Masechtas in Zeroyim. There's a whole Masechta Yerushalmi on the mitzvah of Hafroshas Challah. It's in Chesh. What? The whole Masechta?
No, he learned
it. The whole year. It's a fascinating halacha. Now, let's just review some of the inyanim. The Chinuch says the mitzvah of the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of challah is to give us a mitzvah to midas. Being that everyone eats bread, bread is the staple of life. Ki loy al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. It's not bread alone, but that pasuk indicates that pretty much it is bread alone which man lives on. Bread represents a person's main source of sustenance.
Not anymore.
but at least agadically, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of challah as a way of giving us a mitzvah to need this. Okay, we have the sheish, we have after davening the sheish mitzvahs, the six constant mitzvahs. There are many people who have written books about the six constant mitzvahs to love Hashem, to fear Hashem. So there's a mitzvah that's very practical, to the constant mitzvah and to do, and that is the mitzvah of hafrosh haschalah. The Chinuch writes that eating bread, thus when you eat bread, you're getting the double satisfaction. You're getting mazon haguf and mazon hanefesh, sustenance for the body and sustenance for the neshama. Since every piece of bread that you eat, a mitzvah of hafrosh haschalah, we hope, we assume, has been separated on its behalf. Now, when is this minute that the Rambam cites, when should it be done? It's done in honor of Shabbos. The custom is women should bake chalos in honor of Shabbos. When should they bake the chalos? Can they bake the chalos on Thursday? Can they bake them on Wednesday? Can they bake them on Sunday? So there are two opinions. Some are of the opinion that it doesn't really make a difference. Since the purpose of baking chalos is only for Shabbos, there's no hakpada. When in the week it's done, it can be done on Sunday, Monday, put in the freezer. It's done in honor of Shabbos, and you fulfill the custom in this fashion. Other poskim say no, bedavka, it should be done on Friday. There's a hakpada, big hakpada, to bake chalos on Friday, not because it should be fresh, but because why is challah one of the mitzvahs given specifically to women? Because Adam Harishon was called in Chazal the challah of the world. Hashem created this world, and Hashem separated challah. What was the challah that Hashem separated from the earth? Adam. Adam is a piece of clay that was kneaded with water. The aid yalem in aretz. Hashem took offer minhu adama. He kneaded it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made bread. Hashem, the whole world is called dough. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated challah from his dough. The challah Hashem separated from his dough is Adam Harishon. Chava ruined, destroyed the challah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by feeding Adam from the Eitz Hadas. Chava, Isha, must rectify her sin for the rest of her life, for the rest of the existence of man, by being mafresh challah. Therefore, being that one of the reasons why it's a mitzvah that's miyuchit for nashim, hafresh haschalah, to remember the chait of the Eitz Hadas, to remember that she ruined the chalosa shel olam. When was the chalosa shel olam created? On Friday, on Yom HaShishi. Therefore, in order to remind her of this, the minute to be done in its most enhanced way should be done bedafka on Friday. Another reason given why it's done on Friday is a zecher for the man. The man, v'hoya b'yom hashishi, v'echinu eis asher yaviu, and the pasuk goes on, the Moshe told them that eis asher ofu te'ofu, what you'll cook, you should cook, the eis asher, what's the pasuk?
Efo.
Tofu. Okay, there's a double expression of afia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael that they shall bake the man on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, since the man was baked on Erev Shabbos, that's a remez, that we should also bake the chal that we're going to use for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. That's another remez is the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim was baked on Erev Shabbos. So sach hakol, we have four reasons why the minigus women should bake bread. Covered Shabbos, that's stam, lechem aponim, zecha for the man, and chalosa shel adam. Three of the four reasons tell us that it should be done bidafka on Friday. Adam was created on Friday, the lechem aponim were prepared on Friday, and the man was prepared, the baking of the man was prepared on Friday.
It happened.
Bread first came into existence on Friday. Oh, interesting. Okay, so we have here four reasons. Three of the four have a relationship to Friday, and that's why the custom is to bedavka to do it on Friday. Okay, let's go to some. Run through just some quick halachas. Um, there's a tradition that being mafresh challah besides for the fact that the custom, it's a bracha. It's one of the few places in Tanakh where the pasuk explicitly says that if you will fulfill the mitzvah of challah, you will receive bracha. Veracious arisa sechem titnu lakoyen lehoniach bracha. El Beisecha. So since there's an explicit pasuk that promises reward, it's not something that we take lightly. Okay, what do you do with the challah? What do you do with the challah when you after mafresh challah? We'll get to some of the looks in a few moments. The challah bisman hazeh, there is no coin to give it to. So what do we do with it? We burn it, right? So ideally, the best thing to do is that. Why do you burn challah? Because the halacha is truma tmeya. If truma is tmeya, the halacha requires that it be burnt. Okay, there's a drasha. If I'm not mistaken, there's a drasha for this halacha. Since bisman hazeh, we all together tmei nesim. All of our bread is tameh, so we have no choice but to burn the challah. How do you burn the challah? So you burn it, you wrap it up in aluminum foil, and you put it in the oven, a toaster oven, and you burn it. The poskim do point out, they have to be very careful that the challah be completely sealed and wrapped, because challah has the status as macholos wasuros. Challah is no different than treif. Just like no one would dare take a piece of treif, a pizza, and put it in their oven, no one would dare take a piece of bread that's treif and put it in your kosher kalim, because you'll make all your kalim treif. It's the same exact thing. When you're dealing with challah is also behana. Challah has the status of tarfus. So when you start playing around with challah and start putting in your oven and burning in your oven, if you're not careful to make sure that it doesn't make your oven treif, you'll have a taruvis, and before you turn around, you'll have a treif oven. So be very, very careful, it should be fully wrapped. Because it's so dangerous, and because anyone, you put it in its aluminum foil and you put it in an oven, it doesn't really get burnt. Many people today have already the custom where they just throw it in the garbage. The question is that proper? It's a halacha in the Mishnah that truma tmeah must be burnt. How then do we find ourselves bizman hazeh? Many people are very lenient. They take the challah, they put it in the garbage. The answer given is that the only time in the halacha it is required, an absolute requirement to burn truma tmeah, is when at one point in time it was tahar. If you start out with an object which is tahar and then it becomes tameh, you have an absolute obligation without any leniency to burn the truma, to burn it. But because what? So we'll discuss matzah in a few moments. Matzah is more complicated because you don't have time to be mafish. You have to be mafish afterwards. But lechatchila you mafish when it's dough. But since bizman hazeh, the dough is tamei from the start, from the beginning. This is a very important leniency. Bizman hazeh me ikar hadin. There is no requirement to burn the challah, even though the challah.
So in bizman gevara, a nida couldn't make challah.
No. A nida would touch the dough. The whole dough is tameh. So the whole dough is tameh. So then, well, I don't know if there's no chiyah. You always have a chiyah. Even if the dough is tameh, you have a chiyah to be mafresh. Let's take a step back. Bizman has said there's no chiyah of the rice, so to be mafresh challah.
Bechlal. Well, mafresh and tameh. So what did she do with tameh? You know, she had a burn in the back.
So then it would be the same exact thing. It would not be a requirement. If a woman would start out with dough that's tameh, like today, according to the poskim, there is no chiyah to burn. You have to be mafresh challah. Everyone agrees, because the bread is tevel. The bread has the status of tevel. You must separate challah, even though the challah is tameya. The kohen who, right, kohen whose tummy is not allowed, challah tameya cannot be made by anyone. No one can eat it.
Animals, yes.
Firewood are animals, but not a kohen is not allowed to eat challah. A kohen tummy is not allowed to eat truma tameya. Truma tameya must be destroyed. Animals, beer. But me'ikar hadin, the only time you have a requirement to burn challah, but you can't feed it to your animals. You have to burn it. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to feed it to your animals. You can't feed it to your animals.
Truma, meiser, you can get that.
Can I remember? But. I know, but that's bizman hazeh because it was never tahira. That's the point I want to make. This is a very important leniency. There's a halacha, it's in the Mishnah, Masechet Challah. Truma tameya must be burnt. The reason why that does not apply bizman hazeh, like you're discussing, is because since bizman hazeh, we're starting out with tuma, the rule does not apply. The absolute requirement to burn is only when it starts out tahar and then becomes tameh. But if it's tameh, koroi me ikar hadin, there's no requirement to burn it. And that's why today there are very great leniencies in not burning challah. Many people today don't burn, they just throw it in the garbage, because if you keep it around too long in your house, it may literally take hakola, it may get mixed into your food, then you'll have much bigger problems of tarfas. Now let's say you mafresh challah, before you turn around, you mafresh challah, and then you put challah on the side, and the phone rings, and then one of the kids comes and takes the challah and starts mixing everything together. Before you turn around, it got mixed back into the taruvis. You have a taruvis of dough and challah. So the shear is 1 in 100. Okay, this is a practical b'zman hazeh. Mikra did, when it comes to bittul, it's 1 in 2. When it comes to non-kosher foods, it's 60 to 1. But when it comes to challah, min d'nino, it's only bottle if you have 100 times more chulin than challah. It's a very big stringency. The sheer bittul for challah, if there is a chas shalom taruvus of challah and dough, which does happens in bakeries, it's chula. It's practical b'zman hazeh. The shear is 100 to 1. You must have 101 times more than the small amount. If you don't have, then you got a big problem. What are you doing? You have a big problem. You have to be matir neder. If you have a bakery, they prepare a big batch, a batter of even cake dough also requires a fresh challah, and the challah gets bad, mixed back inside, and you don't have a bittul of 101. So you have to be matir neder. You take three people, they sit down, and the person who made the mistake with the balabai says, we have here a taruvis, I have charata. Had I known that we would have a taruvis, I never would have wanted this to be challah. I want it to be mutter. And the three people say, mutaloch, 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 and it goes back to its original state. Hataras nedarim with regard to a taruvis of challah. Now, what is the shear to make a bracha? So, b'zman hazeh, the Paskim said that if you have, again, it's 43, the size of dough, it says in the Paskim, is an isa, in the East Saron. And in Saron, the modern measurements is 43 1/5 eggs. It's according to the Gemara. 43 1/5 eggs is the shear of an East Saron. How does that translate today in our modern day eggs? So it's questionable. Our eggs are shrunk half the size. Not halacha l'maisa. If you have 2 pounds, 5.5 ounces of flour, you're mechuyev to be mafresh challah, but without a bracha. If you have 4 pounds and 15 1/3 ounces, there are 16 ounces in a pound, so you just about basically 5 pounds, close kamat 5 pounds of flour, you are mechuyev to be mafresh challah with a bracha. There's a very big debate among the poskim. What happens if a woman? Many people, the people who like to be mafresh challah. What?
How much is taken off?
How much is taken off? Oh, so very good question. Halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in Masechet Challah, a private person takes off 1/24. Make a calculation. Whatever you have, divide it into 24 parts. 1/24 is taken a second, taken away, and given to the kohen. If you are a merchant, you're a professional, you have a bakery, you only mechuyev to take off 1/48 and give it to the kohen. Since bizman hazeh, we're not giving it to a kohen. Bizman hazeh, there are no kohanim. It's going to be burned. It's going to be thrown in the garbage. So you only take off a mashahu. Lachatilu, we're not take off a kezayis. A kezayis is equivalent to 1 fluid ounce. Okay, about like a schnapps cup. The amount of dough you can stuff into a schnapps cup, it's halacha l'maisa, we give bizman hazeh. That's only because we're not giving it to a kohen. If we're giving it to a kohen, then we would separate 1/24 or 1/48. But we don't have a kohen, so we just take off a small amount. A small amount, make it in as a mashu. But in order to make the mitzvah choshev, we take off a kezayis, which is the amount that you can fit into a schnapps cup, to a shot. Now, there's a very big debate among the poskim. This is in the prayer path for many women. People, they want to have the zuchus of being mafresh challah. All according to Chazal, is a very beginning of being mafresh challah. It's an eis ratzon. The person should be mispalel. There are all the different. There are many tefillos, ancient tefillos, new tefillos. What a person should say when they mafresh challah, they give tzedakah, they wash their hands, they stand up. It's a very serious thing. Many in Eretz Yisrael, the people, they go to very popular rebbetzins to be mafresh challah. They do this every single week. Let's say a woman wants to be mafresh challah in her home every single week. But the problem is, she just lives alone with her husband, maybe one or two children, all of her children are married, and she's not willing to prepare 5 pounds of flour every week to prepare five massive challahs. All she needs to prepare is one challah. So she does not have enough need to be mafresh challah every single week. So what are her choices? So her choices are she can, once a month or once in 2 months, she'll take 5 pounds of flour and make enough challah for 2 months, and she'll be mekayim the mitzvah of hafrashas challah with the bracha and all of the hidurim, and she'll take all the bread and put it in the freezer. Or she'll give it away. Well, so she'll put it in the freezer. And that means for the next 2 months, she'll do nothing. Every Friday afternoon, she'll prepare for Shabbos and she will not bake challahs. The alternative is, every single week, she'll be mechabed Shabbos by preparing fresh challahs for Shabbos, but she'll never have the opportunity to be mafresh challah, kedas suchadin, with a broch and so on and so forth. Which of the two is preferred to do? To do it once in a while, and the trade-off is, she will not be baking challahs. There's also an inyan to bake challahs every single Shabbos and cover the Shabbos, honor of Shabbos to bake challahs. Is the kedai to is the trade off worth it to be mafresh challah with a bracha once in 2 months and not be mechabed Shabbos every week by baking challahs, or is it better to make challahs every single week and the trade off will be she'll never have enough dough to be required to be mafresh challah? So this is a big machlekes apoiskim. You're going to find on two sides of the question different opinions telling you which is better. Some will tell you it's much more important to be mechabed Shabbos every single week. If a woman's willing to make challahs every single week of Shabbos, that's a very big thing. That's not to be taken lightly. And since bizman hazeh l'chol hadeos, hafrosh haschala is not a mitzvah deraisa, even in Eretz Yisrael. Hafrosh haschala is only a mitzvah deraisa in Eretz Yisrael, number one. Number two, the majority of Klal Yisrael must be living in Eretz Yisrael. So, but even Eretz Yisrael is not a zer, according to the Poskim, we still don't have a majority. Okay, that's a very big debate what it means exactly, but let's put that aside for now. But you have to have, you know, it's not a deraisa. Therefore, it's much more important to be mechabed Shabbos by baking challahs every Shabbos. On the other hand, the Poskim says, so you can mechabed Shabbos other ways. You can make a cholent. You can do other things. You can clean the house. If you want to be mechabed Shabbos, there's no shortage of things you can do. And in order to have the zechus, the opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah, which is meyuchad for women, there are three mitzvahs. There is challah, nida, and halakas neros. Three mitzvahs that are meyuchad only for women. In order to have the opportunity, it's kedai to do with the bracha, even occasionally, and with the trade-off of not doing it every single week. Yes, that's exactly the point. You want to do it with a bracha. The ideal thing is to have 5 pounds of flour, 5 pounds of flour to mix it with water, and now you mechuyev to make a bracha. Okay, you mechuyev to make a bracha, so you, and you, when do you make the bracha? You make the bracha before or after. So machlek is different than telling the minhag. Some make the bracha over le'asiyasan. You first make the bracha, and then you separate the challah. Some people first separate it, and they say, hare zo challah, and then they make the bracha. So why don't we... What? So why don't we say it's either le'asiyasan? I don't know. I don't know why. Why don't we say it should be better to make the bracha first? You make the bracha first. It's oivel la'asiyasan. I don't know. So why wouldn't we do it? Why wouldn't we, of course, make the bracha in advance? I don't know. I don't know the answer. So not like some do before, some do after. As we mentioned before, some have a minute to first be mistalel, and there's also a hakpada to stand. A person should be standing. Birchas hamitzvahs. Most birchas hamitzvahs are done when you are standing, and some also have a custom mentioned to wash your hands to do a netilas yadayim without a bracha, to wash like netilas yadayim, to be metar yadayim ruach ra, even though your hands supposedly are clean if you're in the kitchen, right, you're preparing, but you never know ruach ra before you make the bracha. Now, and the halachalim, now there are gesundheit. Okay, there are okay, a woman who makes a mafresh challah for the very first time in her life, does she make a shachianu? Big question. Machlekes apoiskim. Why not? Because Chazal when I'm misaken a shachianu on mitzvos. Mitzvah you do the first time in your life. I don't know. I don't know the same question is every married woman. First time she lights Ner Shabbos. It's a very big shaila. They probably teach us in the Kala classes what to do. The first time a woman lights candles at home, Ner Shabbos, does she make a bracha? It's a machlekes. Some hold you do, some hold you do not. The first time the tefillin is or, it's leather.
That's but you're not making the bracha on the
tefillin.
You're making bracha on the mitzvah. So there's a
machlokes. It's also shechita. The first time I slew a fairish, the first time you slaughter an animal. Right? The first time you get your ksav kabbalah. Well, the truth is you had to do a shchita before in advance to practice. The first time you do a shchita, you make a shachianu, so all the pious come say no. Sar balechaim. It's a destruction of something. So they say that you don't make a shachianu on shoes, new pair of shoes, sar balechaim. So they say that you make a shachianu, the first thing you put on tefillin, bar mitzvah, I know, we could be. Okay. There's something to this. Okay, it could be the subbing to this. Now, there just to point out alumnus from the Noida Yehuda, when you mafra shchala, there are many diyukim in the Rashi's here in this exparsha. When you mafra shchala, you're really doing two things. Number one, you are removing the status of tevel from the dough. Number two, you're also giving a gift to the kohen of something that is sacred. Titnu. Lepasig and Pasig Yecheskel says, Vereishis Ariso Seichem, Titnu, you shall give. My sin is in the, let me take a step back. The source for Chazal teaching us that you have to give, separate 1/24th of the dough, as Chala comes from the word Titnu. The word titnu has a connotation of a significant nesina, a maisenis, something that is a choshev, a dover choshev. When you give the kohen, you give him something that is choshev, 1/24th or 1/48th. But on the other hand, you are also releasing the dough, the source of dough, from its status of tevel. So here comes a very interesting theme, which we commonly hear with regard to the famous question of the two esrogim. Let me just take a step. Let's very quickly. Let's say you have in front of you two esrogim. One esrog is a mohudar. It is gorgeous, outstanding. No one has ever seen such a beautiful esrog. The only problem is there's a safik on the yichus. There's a safik if this is really an esrog. Maybe it's a lemon. Maybe it was grafted with a lemon. On the other hand, next to this gorgeous esrog, you have a very plain raw esrog. It's not mohudar. But it's certainly a miyuchas. Comes from good stock. Which one should you take to be yaitz of the mitzvah? Both. What's going to hurt? So you'll pick up the beautiful eshrog. You pick up the eshrog that's not mehudar. So you'll get both milas, man of shach. Which one should you take first? So we all know the answer. You should take the one that's not a miyuchas first. Why? You only have one chance to make a first impression. You only have one chance to be mekayim the mitzvah of hider. If I'm going to take the esrog that's a meyuchas, I was already mekayim the mitzvah. I was mekayim the mitzvah be'oifan with an esrog that's a meyuchas. There's no question the mitzvah has been fulfilled, but it was not the mitzvah was not done be'ofan mohudar because it wasn't beautiful. If I pick up the esrog that's mohudar as a safek yichus mon of shach, if it's kosher, it's a miyuchas, so not only do I get in the mitzvah, I also get in the hidra mitzvah. And if it's not a miyuchas, let's say it doesn't come from an esrog tree, it's really a lemon, I didn't do anything. So now when I take the other esrog, it'll be the first time in Mekayim mitzvah. The lumdus says you only have one chance. The way to mekayim the mitzvah of hodar is only the first time you mekayim the mitzvah.
So in that case, can you take a fruit, a new baguette, and make a shechiyah on acceptance of Esrog?
To make a shechianu. We're not talking about shechianu. We're not talking about shechianu. We're talking about the frocha.
Yeah.
We're talking about making the mekayim. This is not shechianu. Right. Being mekayim the mitzvah.
This is a shaila.
On the brocha, being mekayim, you're going to pick up both quickly. So the brocha is going to go on both. I'm going to pick up one, and I pick up the other. So there's not going to be any hefsek. The only question is, there's a concept in halacha, you only have one chance to be mekayim the mitzvah of hodar. The first time you pick up the esrog is that chance. Once you mekayim the mitzvah, it's too late again to be mekayim. That's the dik, I think it's a Rav Chaim. There's such a dik. This concept is also true with regard to giving challah to a kohen. Here's what we mean. When you give a gift to the kohen, there's only an need to give a gift that is holy. In other words, if I have dough and I separate 1/24th and I give it and I separate, this is hare zo challah. This object now is sacred. When I give it to the kohen, I'm being mekayim L'haniach broch el beisecha. I'm giving something sacred to the Kohen. I'm being mekayim this mitzvah, and now Hashem will bless me for being mekayim the mitzvah. If I say, wow, look at this, I give him 1/24th, I'm getting a bracha. So you know what, let me go back to the dough. I'll take out another clump of dough and give a second clump of dough to the Kohen. I'll get more bracha. You might get a bracha for giving the Kohen a tip, but you're not going to get the benefit of giving the Kohen, of being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Titnu Chala. The mitzvah of Chala, you only have one chance to sanctify a piece of dough with the sanctity of Chala, which is given to the Kohen. That chance is your first separation. So if you blow it, so here's the Nafkamina. Let's say you take out of the Chala a mashal. Chala is compared to Truma. Truma, there's no shear. Even if you take one kernel of grain, you're mekayim in the midst of truma. Let's say I separate from the dough a mash or a small amount. What have you done at this point in time? The remainder, the leftover, is no longer tevel. It's mutter. The sanctity this devolves on the small amount of dough that I've separated from my large dough. That is sacred. If I now try again to go back to the dough and separate another clump of dough, it's too late. You only have one chance. You have one chance to sanctify dough with the status of challah that you'll give to the kohen to receive the benefit of laniach bracha el meisach. So that was true during the time when we had kohanim and then we had tahara, and we were able to mekayim the mitzvah in this proper way. Then you would separate 1/24th and 1/48th. But being that Bizman Hazed, the only reason why we're really separating challah is not because we're giving it to the Kohen, because the Kohen anyway is not getting anything out of it. It's going to be burned, it'll be thrown in the garbage, and we're only being mafresh challah in order to free the dough from its status of tevel. There's no inyan Bizman Hazed to mekayim the second inyan of titnu. The only inyan is to remove the status of tevel, and therefore you can separate a tini mashu, and that is, in order, it shouldn't be a bizui mitzvah, so we separate a kezais. A kezais is one fluid ounce. The point I want to make is there are two dinim. There are two dinim in the hafrasha, tevel and the din of titnu, a choshva matana to a kohen with an afkamin bezman hazeh that we don't have kohanim. Okay, if you don't separate before, when do you separate? You separate halach shaila. If you've got to be mafresh challah, and it's already, are you allowed to be mafresh challah on Shabbos? Let's say you baked challahs, and then you know, oh, you give out, I forgot to be mafresh challah. So what do? If it's not yet Shabbos, just take one loaf of bread, take one challah, take out a piece of the challah, and that becomes the challah. You can separate challah even after it's baked b'diavad. Let's say it's already Shabbos. Are you allowed to be mafresh challah on Shabbos itself? Usser. Why is it usser? Number one, you're not allowed to be sanctify something on Shabbos. Number two, you're not allowed to be misaking. Tikkun money, you're being misaking the leftovers. So what is the solution? The solution is don't do any eat. You can eat whatever you want and leave over a small amount. We leave over that retroactively will be the challah, and that will be destroyed. Okay, that pretty much is it. Okay.
Just before I said our